This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 FM. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Show's brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. Mm-hmm. Joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom, located in Tysons, Virginia, or GolfdomGolf.com. Visit today to experience the best in golf on and off the course. Golfdom, live the game. Good morning, John.
Good morning, fellas. You know, it's funny, when I hear you do that Golfdom read, I'm reminded of the monthly emails I used to get from Mike McCarley, who's the president of Golf Channel, who would send out these monthly emails to the, quote, golf family. And he would list every month the three goals of Golf Channel. And number one, because they own that tee time thing, Golf Now, which makes them a lot of money.
Right.
So the number one goal was to increase golfership, which is a word I never heard.
I didn't know they owned it. They do.
Yeah, they do. Okay. And it is their biggest moneymaker. And so that was the number one goal. The number two goal, of course, which is why I don't work there anymore, was to improve our relationships with our partners, quote unquote, which is the PGA Tour and the RNA and, you know, everybody in golf. And of course, that's never sort of been my thing. I don't believe I'm a reporter. I don't have partners.
Right.
I'm actually going to golf them today, by the way.
You go there a lot.
He does, yes. I have an endorsement deal with Dunning.
Does Dunning own Golfdom or
no? It's
something?
Just no. It's just one of the manufacturers that they sell, and
he just loves their gear.
You get a lot of freebies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course, love it. By the way, we started a new tradition last week with John. Before we talk Caps or Wizards or whatever, we asked John what's bothering you as far as the world of sports is concerned. So we asked you last week, and I think it had something to do with college hoops.
Yeah.
Anything bothering you this week?
Well, college hoops hasn't gotten any better in the last week.
No, not right.
You know, I thought that Anthony Rizzo had a very interesting suggestion earlier in the week, because with all of these rainouts and snowouts and coldouts in baseball this month, he brought up the topic of maybe shortening the season and playing fewer games in April, and said, you know, players can afford to take a little bit less money. Now, he's a multi-million dollar player, so right. You say, well, that's easy for him to say. But the minimum salary in Major League Baseball is $507,000 a year. And the owners, every year, the commissioner, whether it was Selig or now Manfred, they brag about how they have record-setting revenues. So I think it's a great idea. It'll never happen.
Right.
See, that's what bothers me, is that people, you know, for some reason, CBS is now employing David Sampson, who's one of the worst people in the history of sports. You know who David Sampson is?
I've
heard the name.
He was the president of the Marlins because his stepfather owned the Marlins.
Ralph?
Jeffrey Loria.
Right.
And kind of a funny story, years ago, my friend Leslie Visser was in Washington, and the Marlins were playing the Nats. And so she was writing a column at the time for CBS Sportsline, no connection here, but and she went down and talked to David Sampson before the game. And she was going, oh, isn't it amazing? He's only 48 years old, and he's the president of a Major League Baseball team. And we were all sitting around eating before the game. And I said, Leslie, his stepfather owns the team. That's why he's the president. And she said, really? I didn't know that. And Bob Carpenter was sitting there, and Bob said, hey, Leslie, have you heard Lou Gehrig hasn't been feeling good lately?
Oh, brutal.
One of the great guys of all time.
Brutal.
I mean,
that
a little
is
bit
brutal.
Cruel, but, you know,
yeah,
but very funny. But anyway, so Samson's now working for CBS, and the minute Anthony Rizzo made this suggestion, he comes up, well, that'll never happen, you know. And see, that's the problem. You asked me what bothers me in sports, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems is the owners in every sport will not do anything for the good of the sport, for the good of the fans, for the good of the players. It's all about how can we maximize our bucks. And it's not, you know, these guys are all rich. I mean, and if every one of them made 10% less, they'd still be all rich.
Yeah.
And the players would still be all rich. And it was an interesting suggestion, but of course it was total fantasy.
By the way, John,
because everybody in sports is about making money.
I agree with you on the weather. I mean, it's been a horrible year for baseball.
Terrible.
I can't remember a year like this, but even if they would start the season, you know, 10 days later, they're still mm-hmm. having snow outs and 20 degree
temps.
Yeah,
you would, but you probably have fewer of them.
Hmm.
And,
I mean,
and the other thing they do, I think we discussed this, they do a poor job of looking at the schedule and saying, let's not schedule a lot of games in Minnesota in April,
right?
You know, or in Detroit.
Seems
in April.
Common sense
let's schedule more games in Florida, in Arizona, in California, in places where there are retractable domes. There aren't that many, but there are some. And if you combine that with shortening the schedule a little bit, I'll bet, Jason, you'd at least cut down the postponements in half.
Well,
and
they did have
you would also
in
cut down the number of nights when you're watching a game and there's 5,000 people in the stands because
yeah.
it's freezing.
Yeah, it's been
they
awful.
Did have Cleveland and Minnesota and Puerto Rico this week.
You're right about the schedule. I think Milwaukee, who's in a dome, right, retractable?
They are, yes.
They played in San Diego to open the season.
Hmm. Yeah, so that's those teams should both be home teams.
Right.
Opening the season.
John,
in L.A.
It's been awful.
San Fran and Miami and Tampa, even though it's the worst stadium in the history of sports. But so you asked me the question. I answered it.
Yeah. John, I thought of you yesterday, and I retweeted, I think it was an article by Jeff Zilgit in the USA Today, where he talks about, I don't know if you remember, the little swirling, little fake controversy on social media about LeBron and whether or not he was asked an appropriate question by Allie
LaForce. Yeah.
Right. And LeBron, to his credit, and I'm neutral on LeBron. I don't love him, don't hate him. I'm just very neutral on him. He went out of his way, I thought, to mm-hmm. protect her and say, hey, no, wait, guys, back off. Even though he claims he's not on social media, which is hilarious. He said, I saw all of the, you know, or people told me about
this. He said, back off.
Yeah,
right?
Back off, right. So he protected her, and then Zilgit wrote an article, I think it was Jeff, who said, look, the reason why this all happened is because he very keenly understands his role in media, and he understands social media, he understands the impact of it, and he gave great examples of how, this is a softball for you, John, how he went out of his way to, if there was an NBA writer from, say, USA Today, he would sit down with him. If there was a mm-hmm. local guy that needed a story, he would sit down with him.
He's like the spokesperson for the league.
Yeah, he would just go out of his way. He understands the role of journalism, and even though you may write something bad about him, he's going to give you the time and do it. Whereas it made me think immediately, I guarantee you Michael Jordan wasn't that way. I know Tiger wasn't that way, right?
Yeah, that's funny, actually, mentioning Tiger. No, you're 100% right. I think LeBron has very much grown into his role as the league superstar, as the super,
not
to put Steph Curry or any of the other great players in the league. Remember, this guy never went to college,
mm-hmm.
but he's very bright. And again, Bill Gates never graduated from college. I think he's pretty bright. Bob Costas, there are others. He has grown into that role and an understanding of that role. And I think you're right that and he said after that interview that he had been told that Aaron Popovich had passed away, and he wasn't, and clearly by his answer he wasn't caught off guard. And that to me was more a product of, as you say, social media and Twitter, where people are always waiting for a
fake
chance
outrage.
To wade in and rip somebody.
Mm-hmm. Fake outrage
is
the worst.
I know, they live
for
it.
Fake outrage, well put.
Yeah.
And you're right. You're certainly right about Tiger. I'll give you a perfect example. Right now, I'm working on a piece for Golf Digest on David Faraday.
Right.
And Faraday, in his comedy act, talks about Tiger. Faraday likes Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells a very funny joke that Tiger told him once on the golf course. And it kind of shows a different side of Tiger and makes Tiger look good.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, just for the heck of it, nothing to lose, I wrote to Mark Steinberg, who is Tiger's agent, who I get along fine with now. And I said, look, you know, I know how Tiger feels about me, but, and I explained the whole circumstance. I said, is there any chance he'd jump on the phone for 5 minutes and just talk about Faraday to me?
Mm-hmm.
No other subject, just Faraday. And Mark wrote me back right away, and he said, I'll ask, but I'm telling you the answer's going to be no. And, of course, the answer was no. No
right.
big deal.
Do you think he actually asks?
I do.
Oh,
I do. Because Mark actually went out of his way when I was working on the first major. I don't know if you guys ever read it, but there's a lot in there about Tiger's role as vice captain.
Yes.
And how he embraced it, mm-hmm. and how into trying to help the players win the Ryder Cup he was, which is totally out of his past character in Ryder Cups. And Mark said to me, because after reading in some of the stuff that I had that I sent to him, I'm going to go and ask Tiger to talk to you. I think he should talk to you.
Right.
Of course, he didn't, and it was fine. The book was fine. But that, see, LeBron James, even if he didn't like me, would have talked to me in
right.
those circumstances. That's
right.
the difference. And frankly, LeBron's smarter than Tiger.
Yeah, I agree. I think I wanted to mention that the last major, because I'm sure you saw, but Armin Katayan, who we've had on the show through the years, he gave you a big shout-out, really nice shout-out, I thought, on social media, and linked to, I think, that chapter where you talk about how Tiger was a vice captain there and what he did to loosen up Patrick Reed. And you really
right.
did have some good stuff there behind the scenes of the Ryder Cup. Really, really good anecdotes.
Well, thank you. I mean, that's what I try to do in these books. I think I mentioned to you guys that the best compliment I got on the book was when Rory McIlroy tweeted that reading it, he felt like he was in both team rooms. You can't mm-hmm. get a better compliment than that.
Right.
And, you know, Armin's an old friend. We worked together at Sports Illustrated years ago, and I have not yet read their book. I've heard that it's very good. And I've got a copy of it, and I'm hoping to get to it sometime. If I ever get this quarterback book finished, I'm going to sit down and read it.
Right, right, right.
All right, do the Caps get through this first series?
I think so. I mean, isn't that what I said to you last Friday?
I think so.
A lot
so,
of
yeah.
people were tweeting at me about, you know, how dare you say we shouldn't panic, and we have a right to panic given the past. They've been fine in the first round. They haven't always won in the first round. But it's not like, other than that Montreal series 8 years ago, they've been okay in the first round. And I just didn't feel like, Columbus won two games in overtime. Now the Caps turn around, won game three in overtime. Overtime games we know can go either way. And in the bounce of a puck, they won the third game on kind of a fluke goal. That's what happens in hockey, in playoff hockey. I think they're fine. Now the next round is going to be a completely different story. But I just don't think Columbus is that good a team. They're fine, but if they turn around and lose game five at home, then they're playing with fire, trying to win a third game on the road. But I think they're fine.
What about the Wiz?
I don't think they're fine.
No, I don't think they're fine either. I'm with you.
Right.
I think they're playing. Unlike the Caps, I think they're playing a team that's better than they are. And I don't know what's going on with Bradley Beal. If they figure that out, maybe they win tonight. But there's clearly some problems inside this team. I mean, Wall and Gortat don't get along. I've been told they're going to have to trade Gortat in the offseason because of that. And Toronto's good. Toronto is, Jerry Brewer wrote a very good column after game one saying, look, this is not the Toronto team that the Wizards swept a few years ago. They're better than that. They're not just the two guards. They have depth. They guard better. Here's one thing I don't understand. I know that they've been trying to protect Wall as he comes back from the injury. I get that. But when you're going to Orlando for the last game of the season and your seeding is at stake, you got to play Wall. You got to play Wall. Because playing the Celtics would have been a completely different thing than playing the Raptors. Now, maybe they turn around and win this series. I don't think it's likely, but it's not impossible. But if I'm Wizards management, Wall's got to play in that. Even if he only plays 24 minutes, that might have been what they lose by 5 or 6 that night.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty tight.
That was an important game, and sometimes you got to. Do any of us think if Scott Brooks had gone to John Wall and said, "John, I need 2 quarters from you tonight. I need the 4th quarter from you tonight," whatever, that Wall would have said no? I don't think so.
No, he's a gamer.
Yeah,
I wonder
who makes that ultimate decision.
I wonder, too. I don't know whether it's Scott or Ernie or Zach Leontis or whomever.
All I know is, and we said it and we got to go, is that Scott just looks miserable. I mean, for a guy making $7 million a year, this is not a fun gig for him. You can tell.
I mean, look at the way they played all year. I mean, they kept losing to bad teams. Wall gets hurt, not anybody's fault, but... you're right. He does look miserable, and if they win tonight, he'll look less miserable. But you're right.
Sure.
He's had a rough year.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, John, we got to go. We're going to do your favorite segment when we come back. We're going to predict the Redskins' schedule game by game.
Game by game, right?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, I got to go find my radio so I can listen.
It's a junkie's tradition,
please,
John.
Please do.
Yes, well, the better thing will be this afternoon on SiriusXM when Chris Russo predicts every single game of the entire NFL season for 4 hours. Now, that's must-listen radio.
He does like to do that. All right.
Thank you, John.
See you guys. Have a good weekend.
Okay, you too.
I'd like to have his paycheck, too, along with Scott Brooks's.
Russo, yeah. I think I took a pay cut, but you still like
it. Oh, I'd like his pay cut version of his paycheck.
Well, he's also doing his own High Heat show on MLB Network.
Yeah, he's doing too much
multi-millionaire.
Work. He works a lot. He doesn't need to work either.
I don't have that work ethic.
I mean, what is he doing?
I'd like Cakes' paycheck until I have to return half of it the next paycheck.
Has he got overpaid again?
I'm sorry.
I shouldn't have said that.
Is that what's happening to you?
I have to talk to people. I have to talk to all the people.
You were gone. He was so butt-sized when he got one check. He was like, oh my God, I must have done a million commercials.
It was short-lived because I knew that I hadn't done 1,000 Bar Louie reads.
Apparently you have.
It didn't make any sense.
Why don't you tell people what you made in your bonuses this past
check? Great. So they did it again? They did it 2 weeks in a row?
I don't know. I have questions and emails to send off. Yeah. It's going to be a pretty fun weekend.
I don't even know how to read this effing thing. Did I get anything? I don't think I've got anything extra.
I don't know.
I think he's getting all of our money.
Did I get any extra?
I don't see any extra. Maybe I got all the extra.
I think Cakes is getting he's getting all my extra.
Yeah, the problem is I have to give it all back.
Give it back down the line.
All right, so we're going to go through the schedule next.
It takes 2 seconds.
And predict wins and losses.
It'll take us as long as we think about it to give out the prediction.
All right, we'll do that next here on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Phil Chenier joins us at 9 o'clock. Preview Wiz Raptors Game 3 at Capital One tonight. Comedian Pablo Francisco joins us in studio at 9:20, Mr. Bung Bung Beach.
Yep.
Love him. He's always great. He's at Arlington Draft House
tonight.
Always
in a good mood.
And tomorrow. Always high energy. Of course, we spent a lot of the morning talking about the Caps. They're back in the series. 2-2. Beat Columbus 4-1 last night. But one of the other topics, which was big in the world of sports last night, was the NFL schedule came out. The NFL Network had a big schedule release thing.
2-hour special, I believe.
It was leaked a little bit early. A lot of it started coming out earlier. But we do have the Redskins schedule, and it is an annual tradition to do this. I think last year we did it 3 times.
Well, I think it's good because things change.
Post-draft, and then we did it, I don't know, somewhere before the
season. I think we've already done it 3 times this year.
I'm not ashamed of it. You do it. I mean, look, nobody knows what's going to happen, but you just give your guess. And, you know, things change after a free agency, after the draft. And so you just kind of, I think it's interesting to track it.
Yeah,
are you tracking it? Do you grab the notebook?
I let you track it, but yeah. I know, why don't you update us on where we've been so far?
I didn't know that we've done this for 2018.
Maybe you were off when we did it.
I think we did.
Because I went through there and I gave them like 4 or 5 wins or something. I think it was something like that.
I think it was last week when you're off.
Might have been. Did we not put it in there?
Nothing.
God. We got to do a better job. You know what? Can you go through, Drabby, can you have Adam go through and document when we went through the picks? I think it might have been the week JP was off.
I think you had him 4-12.
Is he 4-12 or 5-11?
We were arguing about how many games they're going to win at home.
I don't really care about the home away stuff.
I get it, but
about the opponent.
You and I disagreed on how many, because they're just going to steal games that you don't think they're going to win.
No, of course.
Based on games on paper.
I'm not suggesting they're going to do exactly what I say. Of course not.
This is a brutal schedule on paper.
And that's why I'm going with a brutal record.
Right.
They will win games that they shouldn't, and they'll lose games that they shouldn't.
Right, but you have to factor that in. You have to factor in the parity in the league.
No, I do. But if it's all things being equal, it's still back to a brutal schedule, so brutal record.
Like, remember how bad we thought the Jets were going to be last year?
Right. Things happen you can't control. But I don't think
how many games did the Jets win? 6 or 7?
At least 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And I was probably willing to put a bet on them to win 3 games or less.
Yeah, it was incredible.
We thought they were going to be that bad.
Hmm.
Right.
They were better.
Well, I'm perfectly comfortable doing this.
All right.
Well, let's do it.
I have the chart out. Why don't you lead off, EB? They open up Sunday, September 9th at Arizona, 4:25. Sam Bradford now, your starting quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals. They have a new head coach, too.
Yeah,
Steve Wilks.
I mean, you want to talk about a game that can go either way. These are two teams, I think, kind of on the same level. I just don't know. It's a coin toss. Just for the sake of it, the way I see the schedule, I'm going to give the Redskins a win, okay? Because with Alex Smith, first game, it's on the road, but I don't have that high a regard for Arizona.
This is the type
of
game.
New coach.
This is the type of game. Bradford, if he's not hurt, he's tough to defend because he completes so many passes. David Johnson will be healthy, we assume, right? Fitz will kill him.
He's still a threat.
This is the type of game they lose. I'm going to give him a big L.
I agree with you. I think they go on the road. And as you mentioned, Sam Bradford, when he's upright, he's an effective quarterback. And it's early enough in the season. Hello, it's game one. He should be healthy and should last through the entire game. I have the Redskins losing their opener.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Now, I think they come back in week two and beat the Colts. I'm going to pick against Andrew Luck early. Still not even throwing a football.
Throwing a football? Yeah, he's just a big question mark.
I'm also going to take the Redskins, but then don't get too excited. I'm going to take the Redskins there. A good little start, but don't worry.
Is that Ryan Grant's new team?
Might be.
It is. The Colts are heinous. Now, they'll be better with Andrew Luck, but they were one of the worst teams in the league last year. I believe their run defense was atrocious, nearly as bad as the Redskins. I have to pick the Skins to win.
Get ready.
Just because there's a big question mark over Luck, I'm going to say a win there, yeah.
Yeah. Get ready for the swoon,
but they might have Saquon Barkley. You never know.
So this will be, if they go according to what I think, 2-0, and then just run into a brick wall.
Here comes the swoon.
Yeah, here comes the brick wall.
Well, they've beaten Green Bay before at home. Did they play Green Bay this past year, or was it 2 years ago where they beat them at home? I think it was 2 years ago.
It doesn't matter. They're not going to
Green
beat
Bay's
them
always on paper. They're better, but I'm going to say the Skins get a win.
Wow. Oh, I'll take Green Bay.
The Green Bay every time.
Three.
I would bet on Green Bay against the Redskins with Aaron Rodgers every single time.
I know, but just
it's hard to
that
pick
way.
Alex Smith over Aaron Rodgers, and there is no home field advantage. There will probably be 25,000 to 30,000 Packers fans in the stands. I have to give the Packers the win.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm on
Skins
an
at
island.
1-2 at that point.
And they lose next week on the bye week.
They lose that game.
They'll just somehow lose.
Right.
All right, they go to New Orleans.
Monday Night Football.
Anybody taking the Redskins there?
No.
They've beaten New Orleans.
They've beaten all these teams. But no, you can't bet on them to beat them.
Had them dead to rights this past year.
Yeah.
Weren't they up 14 or 15?
Pretty late.
Late in the fourth quarter.
And then P. Ryan couldn't get the third and one.
They were up like 13. I think they were up
13. They're up like two scores.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then they have Carolina at
home.
Hold on.
I didn't get my official pick.
You're not picking the Redskins on Monday night at New Orleans? It would be
good. Of course.
That's my pick. That's my official pick.
Carolina? Right. Anybody taking the Redskins? I'll take the Redskins there.
No. No.
I'm not going. No, I'm going to pick Carolina there.
Carolina.
Although Carolina is so fickle. I mean,
they're not great. But
one year they're legit. The next year they suck.
Yeah, they're not great. We're just poop.
Cam Newton has owned the Skins in some of the recent matchups. For whatever reason, I'm going to pick the Skins to win that game at home. Not sure why. I have them at 2-3 at this point.
Everybody has them at 2-3. Slightly different, but we all have them at 2-3 at that point. So they have Dallas at home the following week at 4:25.
Loser.
I think Dallas is a train wreck. I like the Redskins to get to 500, beating Dallas at FedEx.
I concur.
Why is Dallas a train wreck?
Because they had no money to spend in free agency. They lose, even though Dez is overrated at this point, lose one of their top receiving options.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a big loss.
Still got legit.
Got to deal with Zeke.
Still got
I
legit.
I understand.
I'm going to say.
Still have that line.
This is the home game. I think they'll split with Dallas. I'll give them a win here.
Yeah. Arguing with cakes, then you agreed with them.
Only because of the home.
Yeah, just because of home.
There'll be 30,000 Dallas fans.
I wouldn't categorize Dallas as a train wreck. I think they're better than a train
wreck. I
think
Dallas will sweep the Redskins. I'll take the Giants on the road every time. I'll never pick the Redskins to beat the Giants in New York, ever.
Yeah, I can't have the Redskins winning three in a row, and I have them winning the two games prior, so I'll take the Giants as well.
Yeah. I mean, if you pick the Redskins to beat the Giants in New York.
Now, the Giants were a train wreck last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't see them winning in New York, even though they were a disaster last year, and I don't think they're going to make a quantum leap forward.
That'll be in the middle of the weather, right? It'll
yeah,
be
but
cold.
You know what? Beckham was out all year. What if, you know, Beckham's there, healthy, and then what if they do get Barkley? You just never know with these teams. That's why we do this again after the draft.
Right.
At the Giants.
You're taking the Giants, of course you are.
I'm going to say loser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, and to complete the first half of the season, they face the Atlanta Falcons
loser.
At home.
Loser. Of course that's a loser. I mean, they could win, but I mean, on paper, that's a loser.
I'm not crazy about Atlanta for whatever reason. I have the Skins winning that game at home.
I think they'll lose that game.
Skins at 4-4. I'm the outlier here.
Right.
So I got them 3-5.
Right. What do I have them at? 2-6? I got them in the middle of a hardcore swoon.
Yes. Yeah. You have them at 2-6.
Yeah.
I also have them at 3-5.
All right. Now we're going to Tampa on Sunday, November 11th.
This is a tough one for me.
Tampa sucks.
They can't guard that.
Tampa, every year people say, oh, Tampa's going to be great.
They can't
guard
win Mike Evans.
Well, that's fine, but they're going to win this game. They're going to beat Tampa.
Not a Jameis believer.
That's what it is.
I have a hard time trusting him.
You can't count on Jameis.
He's not consistent. The Skins, is that a primetime game?
No. 1 o'clock game.
If it were primetime, I might side toward the Bucs, but I'll pick the Skins there. It's squeaker.
All right, I got them winning that game.
I'll have, just for fun, I'll pick the Redskins. That'll be one of those games they shouldn't win, they'll win. But I, unlike you guys, will have them losing to Houston the next week.
Oh, I have them beating Houston.
I have them losing to Deshaun Watson.
I have them beating Watson. Houston's defense pretty good, but I got them beating Houston. So now I got them back to 500.
Yeah. And then it's just another back into the brick wall.
We know what happens on Thanksgiving.
Get Cakes' pick on the Houston game.
Winner, two games above 500. Apparently,
oh my God.
I'm bullish on the Skins.
You got them at 6-4.
6-4?
Right.
Now, it could all crumble late
That's
in the season.
That's also a three-game winning streak you have them on.
I like it.
True. You actually have them winning 5 out of 6.
He's very bullish.
Yeah, I don't, maybe
he didn't realize
crazy.
It.
Maybe I'm crazy.
He's
over
seeing
here.
This schedule completely differently than I am.
But right. At Dallas, that's a fat loser.
Well, Dallas, Thanksgiving, it's a loser. They got swept by the Cowboys.
At Philly, loser.
Loser.
Even though they're going to have 2 weeks off.
Now they're at 6-6. All of a sudden, the world looks.
All right,
what do I got them at? 2-8 right now?
Who knows?
2-8, and Gruden probably fired.
No, you have them at 3-7.
3-7.
I got them beating the Giants the following week at home.
I have them beating them as well. 7-6.
I'll throw them a bone to beat the Giants at home.
At Jacksonville the following week, they probably won't have more than 10 total yards.
Loser.
That's a loser.
Yeah,
be a low scoring. Take the under next.
I have them dropping one of the Jags with their new dog park at their stadium. Yeah. Drab T-shirt gets size. It's probably
they've got a dog
Oakley
park
at
the stadium.
Yes,
oh, didn't know that.
At Tennessee is a complete toss up for me. I'll give them a weird win.
I have them losing on the road to the Titans. I think the Titans are going to be improved. Better passing game there with Mariota under the tutelage of LaFleur as the offensive coordinator.
Right.
Off of the Shanahan and Sean McVay tree. They're going to be better.
But
they
still,
beat the Skins.
Still,
Skins
it's
fall
still to, the Titans.
Skins fall to 7-8 on
what
my
chart.
What
do I have them at right there, JP?
You're going to have them lose to Tennessee?
Yeah.
I think you have them at
4-11 right at that point.
4-11.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
I've got them beating Tennessee.
Or 4-9, 4-10, whatever.
No, because we got one game left. 4-11. And then just to make it, just because I think 5 is a good number, I'll give them beating Philly at home. Last game of the year. Probably won't mean anything.
They're resting all their starters.
Resting all their poopers.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I have them losing to the Eagles 7-9.
I think I think Philly's going to rest everybody and still win the game.
They might.
So I've got an L for the Eagles.
So I got them at 5-11. And it doesn't matter when they win or lose because all – they will win games they shouldn't, and they will lose games they shouldn't. At the end of the day, that should all be equal.
Well, if they go 5-11, that could spell the end for both Bruce Allen and Jay Gruden.
It should.
If they only win 5 games?
What if I'm going 7-9? If they go 7-9 and miss the playoffs, which they would.
Close. I mean,
is that enough to keep him?
It might. I think.
Might hang on with 7-9.
It'd be hard.
But not 5 wins.
I don't think so. Another losing. It's just another losing year.
Right.
So I just don't think that would be good enough.
All right, I got 7-9 there, Jippa.
They better draft
their
asses off. I've
got 6-10 cakes. What did you end up with?
7-9.
Yeah. Now, you know what? I'm keeping this because last year you guys pulled the okey-doke on me and you referred to the original picks.
No,
and
we went through all of them.
No, but I'm saying I flip-flopped on some games.
Yeah, yes,
I'm keeping this for myself, for my record.
Well, I have
it's because you're a flipper and a flopper.
What's today? The 20th? 420. Boom.
I got 5-11. Put it in there. The most optimistic guy is 7-9?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cakes and Jason
in this
both
room,
have them at 7-9.
I'm sure a bunch of Redskins.
You got him at 6-10?
I'm at 6-10.
A bunch of skins marks will have him at 10-6 and making the playoffs.
People accuse us of being blind.
Well, Turpin will call up and they'll be 14-2.
Right. Yeah. He'll have them winning 12 games.
That schedule,
games.
In my opinion, is brutal. Throw in the fact that I still actually think we're worse than we were at the end of the year. Those teams are going to be better because they're going to get guys back.
Where does their schedule rank in terms of schedule strength? I mean, just based on the numbers.
It looks like, you know what?
You don't have it. It's okay to say you don't have it.
It's not arranged that way.
Here's the caveat to it. Here's how things could change.
Middle of the pack.
If Jonathan Allen comes back and he's the same player he was in the first 5 or 6 games or whatever, and then defensively they're just like a completely different team.
And maybe they add a piece like Vita Vea.
Yeah. Then,
with the 13th pick.
Then that's why we'll see. Then you might
recalibrate. It's okay for us to recalibrate at a later date.
All right. Remember, Phil Chenier is going to join us at 8 o'clock. We will talk about the Wiz Raptors Game 3 playoff game. That's at 9 o'clock. But coming up next, we'll get back to the Caps, who, of course, even their series last night. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We wanted to dive back into the Caps, who, of course, won last night 4-1. First game in the series. It doesn't go to overtime. Game 5 at home tomorrow, 3 o'clock. We'll open up the Hadid carpet cleaning Lister lines at 800-636-1067. Do you think there's momentum and it carries over and the Caps win this series? Or do you still believe it's game to game? And the first 3 games were tight, all went to overtime.
I think it's game to game,
but they do have momentum, no doubt.
I just don't.
But there's not necessarily, a huge carryover from game to game.
Yeah, I mean, no team has won on home ice yet. Hopefully, the Caps can reverse that trend tomorrow.
But again,
we've learned from Caps series of the past that momentum is a figment of our imagination.
But if they
figured
win this
anything
game,
out, though,
if they win this game in Game 5 in a series 2-2, they got a 79% chance of winning the series.
I like those numbers.
Have they figured something out now? Tortorello, the coach of the Blue Jackets, said, well, we just suck.
Right.
And Drab was telling me he went on Columbus Blue Jackets Twitter last night to see what the fans' response there was.
Yes, Blue Jackets Nation
and
Drab.
Blue Jacket Nation was basically saying that the team was lazy and they just didn't have energy.
Good, I hope that's the case. I hope they're lazy again
tomorrow. The counter might be that the Capitals figured something out. Well, you talked about how they neutralized Panarin. You see a low shot total. It was right around 23 shots, I believe, they had. So you could make an argument, I don't know if it's the correct argument, that the Caps maybe figured some things out and they're the better
team.
And
you can't stress enough, I think, the fact that Jay Beagle's back and healthy and they're winning the majority of the faceoffs, which they did again last night. That certainly helps.
He's
and
so
probably
good.
The biggest factor,
really good.
The Caps made a goalie change.
Why is he so good at that?
It's just a skill that he's honed over the years.
He adapted to the new rules, it sounds like, quickly.
Do you have the Tortorella comment after the game? It just makes me laugh when I hear him talk.
That's an all-timer.
I like that he's
that's
tilted.
An all-timer.
It's pretty good. When
it's like right up there with the Jim Mora stuff.
Couple of the guys said they felt that you didn't, as a team, test Holtby enough. Just what were your thoughts on the shots you did have and the chances you did have?
We weren't good. We weren't good. There's no sense asking me things about the game. I'm telling you, we laid an egg, so I'm not going to break it down for you. We sucked. So let's move by it and see if we play better Saturday afternoon.
Hey. How can you, listen, I know the guy's a dick, but how can you not like him?
I mean, like him.
I don't like him because he's the enemy. Coach of the enemy,
I just
so
like
how
person.
Could you like him?
I like
him?
His personality.
I appreciate that. He's not sugarcoating it. He's not just trying to protect his guys. He's saying, look, we sucked. I don't have time for this BS. This is silly. We sucked.
You guys
sucked. We sucked.
There aren't many
Why
coaches.
Why are you even asking me details about a game coaches we sucked
I hope they suck again tomorrow, and I hope they bottle up Panarin again tomorrow, because he was clearly frustrated, took two penalties, was ineffective, only had one shot on goal. I mean, if you see that sort of performance again tomorrow, you have to love the Caps' chances going forward.
I'd say if they play half as good as they played, they'll be in a good spot. You know.
I like it when Neil Greenberg says, if the Caps play like this, they can make a deep playoff run.
That's a completely different narrative than he had been pushing all year.
Yeah. Correct.
And but because they hadn't played like that. So the problem with that is they're probably more likely to play like they've played all year than like they did in the outlier.
Possibly.
You have to remember, it is an outlier. Like, didn't he say that was the best game they've had in, like, did he say
most
one of the best three or four games in, like, Ovi's career
season.
Or something?
Most
he said
complete.
Something.
I thought he said of the season. But, look, the biggest reason that they've played better the last two games is they changed the goaltender.
Right.
And the question is, will Braden Holtby continue to play like this, or will we return to the Braden Holtby we saw the last few months of the regular season?
I think when you're hot,
like he has,
you kind of stay hot, I feel like.
I think he's got his confidence back.
He's on a heater.
He's got a swagger back.
Well, if that's the case, I think they win the series.
And I'm glad that people are not hyping up the Bobrovsky donk anymore. Because I thought he was fine, but he was giving up like 3 and 4 goals a game, too. Wasn't like
but
he was spectacular.
They are peppering him with shots, though.
Good.
I mean, how many shots do they have in four games? Like 150?
Yeah, but I remember one of those shots, Ovi shot it from like mid-ice.
It's weird because that's a role reversal. Columbus, they were the volume shooting team coming into the series. It wasn't the Caps. Mm. They've completely flip-flopped.
Well, that's the difference in the playoffs.
Yep. All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. You want to chime in? Do you think there's momentum and the Caps take this series?
Well, let me also ask you this, too. If they actually win this, are you going to take more comfort in it and not take it for granted like you have in years past? That, you know what I mean? Because, wow, it looked like we were dead.
I still feel doom and gloom because they're going to likely
face
the
Pens. Because
we
felt like this last year, remember, against Toronto? Were we trailing Toronto early in that series?
I feel like we were chasing our tail in that one. They looked like better. They were quicker.
Dropped the first game. I know that.
All right, so maybe that's what it was.
Edward,
anyway.
Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, what's going on, Junks?
What's up?
Nothing much. I want to say something real quick. Hey, look, keeping that schedule and keeping it for your records of 7-9 just means now they're going to go 9-7 because then that's not going to matter. So you might as well throw it away like you did last year. But the momentum for the Caps is back, and here's why I say it is. Number one, that goal that TJ Oshie got last night was because they did one thing that they haven't been doing all series long, and that's because they crowded the net with white jerseys. Right. If you're going to get those pucks, if you're going to get those easy goals are going to come when you crowd Bobrovsky. Let's remember, Bobrovsky can stop just about any shot, just like any goalie should, when it's coming from 40, 50 feet away from the goal and nobody's crowding. When his puck's going towards the goal like the Cubs did yesterday, then you're going to get those easy rebound goals like TJ Oshie got last night. And number two, the reason why I think momentum is in their favor, they're playing faster. And so I was at the party last night. They had at the Yard House, and somebody told me, "Well, he's here because the young legs." I said, "Well, the young legs doesn't mean anything because veteran leadership can overcome young legs." Because look at them. Didn't they look tired yesterday? Didn't they look tired from playing the 3 overtime game? You would have thought the Caps would have came out that way, and they didn't. The momentum is back in the Caps' favor. Simple.
Thank you, Edward. By the way, last year the Caps actually won Game 1 against Toronto in overtime. Then they lost the next two, a double overtime game, and then another overtime game. So they had 3 overtime games
they
in the
were
first
down,
round
They
start.
Were down 2-1.
2-1, but then they won the next 3.
Right, but after that third game, we said, oh, you know what? We didn't expect this team to be this fast.
And
didn't
every
know Toronto
game,
was as good.
Right, every game was a one-goal game. You know, in a six-game series, which they won 4-2, they had 5 games go to overtime.
It's their specialty.
5 out of 6.
It's what they like to do. JP mentioned that I think in their last 9 games, they're 3-6 at home, right, in the playoffs. Is
correct.
That right?
Dating back to last season, yes.
And sort of apropos of that, and I'm sure Cakes will disagree with me because he fears change.
That's a little surprising, by the way.
Right.
It is.
Yeah.
Because Cakes fears change, and I fear change in a lot of ways, too. I have to tell you, when I first saw them in their white sweaters on the road, I thought, I think I like that better than the red. I'm over the rock, the red bit. I swear to God. And maybe I'm on an island, but we've been doing the rock the red thing. It's been cool.
I heard someone make that point.
I like them better in the white.
I like the whites.
Well, I like them better in the white. I'm kind
of
over the red.
I heard someone make a good point.
And I'm a red guy.
I can't remember who it was, but they said, I think that Washington just needs to get away from home because they lost the first two at home.
Right.
And they're going to play better. And I didn't understand
why. What if they changed the mojo against the Penguins and they wore white? Let's say, okay, I'm getting ahead of ourselves. I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, you are getting way ahead.
I shouldn't have done that. I apologize. That's a big no-no. But let's just say, God, you know, the miracle hits and we win this series.
Yeah.
What if we changed the mojo and we rocked the white?
I wouldn't have an issue with that.
I like us in the white.
I like the way the white sweaters look, too.
Right?
I don't think it's going to happen at home, but I like them.
Why can't we build some momentum for? Let's do something different. Let's change up. Let's change it up.
Call,
you know,
Ted.
I mean?
You won't tweet Ted.
We're not that close. Let's go to Daryl Falls Church. Daryl, what's up? You're on with the Jumps.
Hey guys, long time listener, first time caller. I really think the momentum swung after they won Game 3 in double overtime. I think you win a game like that. It just, whoever wins that game, and obviously if we would have lost, we'd have been a hole. But since they won it. And then you saw the way they came out last night. I mean, that was the best game I've seen them play in probably over a month. Columbus looks frustrated. They took a lot of penalties. They were jabbing and, you know, after whistles and everything. Like you guys are saying, if the Caps can get a win at home as tomorrow afternoon, I think Caps win it in six.
Yeah, I'm going to feel real, real good if they win tomorrow.
They go up 3-2.
But, you know, we still got to get that dub.
It's hard not to.
It's easy to say it, but they still got to go out there and get it done.
It's such a swing of emotions in the playoffs. These games, each one has its own life as its own, and it changes the dynamic of the series.
Now, they've been jumping on Columbus, and I believe they've scored first in all four games.
Yeah.
So if that happens again, put the pressure on them, but, you know, see what the result is.
All right, coming up next, we will talk some Wizards. They have their Game 3 home playoff game tonight against the Raptors. Phil Chenier, Wizards analyst for NBC Sports Washington, joins us on The Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.